Psalm 23, last week, we looked at verse 1 and we saw three things out of verse 1. Today we're going to be in verse 2. So far the Lord hasn't moved me out of Psalm 23 yet, so I'm going to stay there until He says go, move. These are not your typical Psalm 23rd Psalm messages. I probably will take each and every week the next verse and just preach out of that verse. You know, there's enough sermon material in a word in the Bible that no preacher should have any problem finding a message from week to week. I've heard of preachers that have said, and you've heard this maybe too, I've said it from the pulpit here before, I've heard of preachers that they have to move on after 2-3 years because they preached everything that they know. I've been here 31 years and the Lord's still giving me new messages. And as long as you have a Bible that you read from daily, you'll have no problem finding a message to preach from. No problem whatsoever. It at times can get a little, Lord, you're waiting a little too long here to tell me what I'm doing here. Because there is a lot of preparation in a message. J. Vernon McGee used to say, if a preacher doesn't spend 8 hours preparing a message, he has not prepared a message. There have been times I've spent more than 8 hours on one sermon. And there has been times that I've spent less than 8 hours on a sermon. I'll just admit that to you. This one, I've been working on it all week long. I haven't recorded the hours that I have worked on it, but I've been working on it. Literally, I started it last Sunday afternoon, and I've been working on it ever since. So we'll see where it goes. I don't know how good it'll be, but my prayer is it'll speak to your heart. That's what it should do. Let's all stand. I'm going to read Psalm 23, just verses 1 and 2, and then we'll stop at the end of 2 and we'll get into the message. I think Kathy was just kind of joking. She says, you're back in Psalm 23 again. Is there enough sermon material in one verse? Well, there was enough sermon material last week in verse 1, and I think I got enough sermon material in this verse. So we'll see, Kath, how it goes, all right? Okay. If we're done really early, you'll know that there's not enough sermon material here. Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. I pray that this message would exalt you, Lord, because we know that you are the great shepherd. You are our shepherd today. And so, Lord, we know that when David wrote this little psalm that he was referring to you. And so, Lord, use it. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's not saved, we pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, if there's a Christian that's faltering a little here, we pray that you'd bring them back again. We just ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts through the message, through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And who is David referring to here? He's obviously referring to the Lord, the shepherd. David was a shepherd himself. We said last week there were many shepherds in the Bible. Abraham, Jacob, and all of his sons were shepherds. And David was a shepherd. Amos was a herdsman. We're reading Amos in our daily Bible reading here. He was a shepherd, a herdsman. David was writing this not as a shepherd, really. He was writing this from the perspective of a sheep. He's actually saying, and this is what I said last week, so I won't spend any time on that, but he's actually putting himself in the same position that we're in, just as a sheep. That's all we are. I'm a sheep, you're a sheep. I'm just kind of the lead sheep here, that's all. Figure that one out. I'm supposed to be like a shepherd in the Bible, but it doesn't excuse me from being a sheep like you. I have the same sheep tendencies that you do. We'll talk about some of those tendencies today. If you don't know anything about sheep, before you leave here today, you're going to know something about sheep. Do you know the strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it's almost impossible to make them lie down in green pastures. Did you know that? It's almost impossible. Sheep will not just lie down unless all the things with that sheep is just right. There's four things that a sheep literally needs in order for them to feel comfortable enough to lie down in green pastures. Those are the four things that we're going to look at here today. So if you're going to take notes, jot these things down. These are important. I'll give them to you right up front. And we'll see how far we go with this today, but here they are. A sheep has to be free from all fear, or the sheep will not lay down in comfort and relax. Number two, the sheep has to be free from friction with others or tension. There can be a lot of tension within the flock of sheep. We'll talk about some of that, but they have to be free from friction with others. Number three, they need to be free from pests, insects. We'll talk about some of those insects and what they are, but that's the agitations that can be about with the sheep. And number four, they have to be free from hunger or the fear of being hungry. Those four things will keep a sheep, if they're not just right, will keep a sheep from lying down in the green pastures. Those four things must be satisfied before they can lie down and have some comfort and enjoy that. The Bible does say, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So that He is the shepherd, right? So also as we go through and learn some things about the sheep, we're also going to learn some things about how important the shepherd is. Because a sheep cannot function without a shepherd. They've got to have a shepherd to lead them and direct them and help them through these things in order for them to be able to be made to lie down. The shepherd, if these four things are missing from the sheep, then the shepherd, it's going to be very difficult to get him to lie, get the sheep to lie down in comfort. But he makes them lie down. Why? Because he meets all of their needs. So it allows them to lie down comfortably. All right, let's talk about this free from all fear. That's number one, free from all fear. And we're going to correlate this today with us as human beings, because there's a lot of similarities between sheep and humans. Amen. Temperament, personality, all the things that go along with sheep and humans, there's a lot of things that we can assimilate with this, and so you'll see that as we go. But we must also be free of all fear. This pandemic, alleged pandemic, has brought fear and trembling to so many people today. There are Christians that they're scared to death of this pandemic. There are Christians still, after 18 months, will refuse to go to church because they're scared that they're going to catch the virus, they're going to get something, they're scared to death. There are still people today that will refuse to leave their homes in fear of the virus or in fear of getting anything. So it's really caused a tremendous amount of fear. I believe that the government has helped with the fear. Every time you turn the news on, that's all you hear about is you hear about COVID-19. You hear about now the Delta variant. You hear about all these other variants, and all of these are going to be much worse than the other. It's going to be worse than COVID-19, the Delta and all of these other ones. And now they're telling us that the vaccine will do very little for the new variants that's coming out. It's like, you know, what do we do? I'll tell you, what you do is you pray and you put yourself in God's hands. Like a good sheep would put herself or himself in the hands of the shepherd. We got fear about everything today. We have people that just are scared to death of diseases from others. I know Christians that will not shake a hand of another person because they're afraid they're going to catch something from that person. You know what? That may be so. Right? I mean, but you can catch something from your own family member. You can catch something if you have a dog or a cat. You can catch something if you walk in the Walmart. Or if you go anywhere at all, you can catch something. Diseases are part of life. And that's just the way it is. In the end times, the Bible talks about pestilences in the end days. We're living in a time of pestilence. Those are diseases. They're popping up all around us. Instead of getting so scared of these things, you ought to say, well, thank God, hallelujah, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. And if he decides to take me out with the pandemic, well, fine, I'll go. Amen. Amen. Do you know there is a phobia for just about everything? Yeah. Now, please, I don't want to offend anybody here in this room. Okay? I don't want to offend you. But I'm going to go through a list of phobias. And what I'd like you to do is be honest today and say amen if you have one of these phobias. You just do that? Be quiet through the whole thing, but just say, all you got to do is say amen. You know, got that phobia. You know, just say amen. I just would like to hear, and don't be embarrassed to do that, and don't feel offended. But here's what a phobia is. This is the definition. Phobia is one of the most common mental illnesses in the United States. Maybe you didn't know that, but now you do. The National Institute of Mental Health suggests that 8% of U.S. adults have some type of phobia. And I can almost guarantee you in this room, I know of at least one person that has at least one phobia, and that's me. And you know what it is. Women are more likely to experience phobias than men, ladies. Some of you men are saying amen, as you know exactly. Typical symptoms of phobias can include nausea, trembling, rapid heartbeat. When I see a snake, my heart goes right up. Feelings of unreality and being preoccupied with the fear object, whatever that is. Now, say amen if you have any of these phobias. I didn't count these. There are phobias I've never heard of before. Here's a popular one. Fear of heights.
Amen.
Amen. That's acrophobia. Fear of flying.
Amen.
Couple fear of flying. That's aerophobia. Fear of pain. Fear of open spaces or crowds. Fear of needles or pointed objects.
Amen.
Fear of riding in a car. That's a maxophobia. Fear of men. Amen. Ladies are saying, amen. Fear men. Wait till you hear one of the other ones coming up here in a little bit. Fear of angina or choking. Fear of flowers. Anthrophobia. These are real phobias. I'm not making this up. I looked this stuff up. Fear of people or society. Fear of being touched. Fear of peanut butter. That's a real phobia. I can't even pronounce it. But there's people that have a fear of peanut butter. I'm making this one up, but is there anybody that has a fear of pizza? I'm not trying to make fun. These are real phobias. Fear of spiders, TJ.
Amen.
Paul Taylor. Arachnophobia. Here's one I never knew. Fear of numbers. Arithmophobia.
Amen.
You don't like numbers? That's a real phobia. Fear of numbers. I don't like numbers. Fear of thunder and lightning. Fear of disorder or untidiness. Fear of imperfection. Fear of failure. Fear of human-like figures. I don't understand that one. Fear of being alone. Autophobia is what that's called. Fear of bacteria. Fear of gravity. You better love gravity. Keeps you on the ground. Fear of stairs or steep slopes.
Amen.
TJ, you're saying amen to everything. What are you, just a walking phobia guy? He's got a lot of phobias. Fear of amphibians. You know, frogs and things. Fear of pins and needles, again. Fear of books.
Amen.
Bibliophobia is what it's called. Fear of plants. I almost said pants. Fear of plants. Plants. No. Wear your pants. A fear of plants. Fear of ugliness. Fear of being ridiculed. Fear of mirrors. These Fenton kids over there, they're crazy. Fear of snow. I am not afraid of snow. I just don't really care for it. Fear of colors. Fear of clocks. Fear of time, chronophobia. Fear of confined spaces, claustrophobia. Anybody claustrophobic? Some people. Many, many people are claustrophobic. Fear of clowns. Fear of computers. That's cyberphobia. It's a phobia. It's a real phobia. Fear of dogs. Anybody scared of dogs? He got bit by one not long ago. That's why he's like he is now today. Fear of trees. Fear of dentists. Fear of chiropractors, Rudy. No, that's really not a phobia. Did you know that? So you're okay. But if you're a dentist, watch out. Fear of houses. Fear of accidents. Fear of the home. Fear of cats. Fear of insects. I like this next one. Fear of teenagers. That's a phobia. I can't really pronounce it. It's ephebiphobia. Fear of teenagers. Fear of horses. Equinophobia. Fear of horses. Fear of marriage.
Amen. Amen.
It's called gamophobia. That's what they say. Fear of knees. You know, your knees. You got a fear of your knees? That's a phobia. Fear of speaking in public. That's real. That's glossophobia. Fear of women, guys. Here's the name of it. Gynophobia. I'm telling you, that's exactly what they said. Yes. Fear of touch. Fear of the sun. Fear of blood. Fear of reptiles. This one I'll never be able to pronounce it. If you'd like to see it afterwards, I'll show it to you. 35 letters is this word. It's fear of long words. 35 letters. I'm going to try to. It's hippopotomonstrosequipedophobia. Fear of long words. It makes no sense. Fear of water. Some people have a fear of being in the water. Hydrophobia, fear of illnesses, fear of doctors, latrophobia, fear of rooms, just being in a room. This one I don't understand. Fear of buttons. 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 Got a button. Fear of buttons. Fear of the color white. Fear of tornadoes and hurricanes. Fear of childbirth, ladies. Fear of cooking. No cookie, no eatie. Fear of large things. Fear of the color black. Fear of small things. If you're scared of big things, you might be scared of little things. Fear of dirt and germs. Fear of death or dead things. Fear of the night. Noctophobia. Fear of hospitals. Fear of the dark. Fear of gaining weight. Obesophobia. That's what it's called. Abuse. Fear of gaining weight. Fear of the figure eight. Octophobia. The number eight. Nobody has a fear of the number eight? This is real. I'm not kidding. And then the fear of the snakes. Fear of rain. Fear of birds. Fear of paper. Fear of disease. Fear of children. The Benedicts have no fear of children. Amen. Yes. Fear of kissing. Fear of love. Fear of phobias. Fear of feet. Pedophobia. Scared of your feet? Maybe that's why you're not going anywhere. Fear of the color purple. Fear of ferns. You know, the growing ferns. Fear of flying. Fear of fire. Fear of Halloween. Kids, this is for you. Fear of school. There's a real. Fear of being stared at. I should have that because I'm stared at all the time. Fear of the moon. Fear of social evaluation. Fear of sleep. Fear of speed. Fear of technology. Fear of holes. Holes. Don't like holes. I wouldn't want to fall into a hole. If I see a hole, I'm going to walk around the hole. Right? Here's something. Fear of beautiful women. It's called venustraphobia. Fear of beautiful women. I don't know. Fear of germs. Fear of witches and witchcraft. Fear of strangers or foreigners. Xenophobia. Remember, we used to hear that a lot about Donald Trump. He's a xenophobe. He didn't like strangers or foreigners coming into the country. He's only trying to keep our country safe, is what he was trying to do. Look what's going on now down there. Fear of animals. Zoophobia. Zoophobia. These are real, A to Z, these are real phobias. People are scared of something all the time, it seems like. What? Democrats, you mean? Demophobia. Fear of Democrats? Yes, demophobia. Yeah, we'll have to add that to the list of phobias, Bob. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Here's one that's not on the list. I wonder why it's not on the list. Fear of short people. Midgets. Yeah. Yeah, Joanne Mills has a fear of little people, short people, midgets, dwarfs, whatever you call them, dwarfs. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This will help us all. You got a phobia today? There's something that you're scared of? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, verse 7, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The problem that we all have, all of us, when we're scared to death of certain things, especially this pandemic, is our mind is just allowing it to listen to all of the garbage that's out there. I've said this I don't know how many times. You're better off without watching TV at all. You're better off without listening to all of the headlines that are out there and all this stuff that's going on. It just brings fear, and that's what our government wants. Our government wants everybody to be scared to death so they can come in and rescue the day. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Say amen to that. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So now if the shepherd, who's going to make everything good for the sheep, it's the shepherd who makes it possible for them to lie down. It's the shepherd that makes it possible for people to, not people, for the sheep to rest, to relax, to be content, to be quiet and flourishing. It's up to the shepherds, that's his job to do that. It's not the sheep's job to do that. The shepherd does that. Our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, allows us to be free from fear. You don't have to fear everything that you hear, what's going on around us. A flock that is restless, it's discontented, it's always agitated, it's disturbed, never ever does well. And a church that's filled with people that are scared to death of everything will never go or do anything for Jesus Christ. Because that's the same with the sheep, the same with the people. You get a group of people that's scared to death all the time, what are they going to do? Just want to crawl underneath their couch and that's where they want to stay, or go into a dark bedroom and close the door. They have this fear of even getting out and doing anything. Sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even if a stray jackrabbit runs out in front of them, they'll jump and they'll take off running, and a whole dozen rest of them will follow, and they have no clue what they're doing. But something scared them. Something spooked them, and away they go. They don't even stop to say, whoa, what are we running for? That's what's going on in America today. Scared to death. People are running for their lives, running for the vaccine, running to do this, running to do that. It's just, we're frightened. We live in a frightened society. And so there's no rest. There's no relaxation. There's very little contentment today. Very little quietness today. Christians, even Christians, are having a hard time flourishing in their own Christian life and walk because they're so scared and so filled with fear over what's going on. And so in order for a flock, we see that in our text there in Psalm 23. As it says in that first part of that verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, the first thing we got to deal with is the fear. So where's your fear level today? You know what you're afraid of. You know what you're scared of. You know where your fear level is. Because only you and God know that. If you have a fear or if you have a phobia, ask God to help you with that. Ask God to get you through it. Ask God to give you some comfort or give you some guidance or something to help you with that phobia or that fear that you have. Because the Bible teaches against that. Now, we're to fear the Lord. That's a whole different thing. You understand what I'm saying here today. I'm not talking about not fearing God. We're talking about fearing things in this world. Fearing people or fearing situations or circumstances. Some people don't even want to go to work because they fear their boss. They fear their job. They fear other people. And the only person that hurts really is the family of that person that will not go to work because they have a fear of going to work. Second thing is not only the fear of or the being free from fear, but to be free from friction with others. Tension. Do you know sheep cannot lie down and rest in contentment when there's friction in the flock, within that herd? Conflict and jealousy within the flock can be extremely detrimental to that flock, to that shepherd, to all the sheep that are involved. When the shepherd, though, comes into view, when a good shepherd would come into view from a conflicting flock, immediately all of the sheep would calm down and they would be relaxed because there's the shepherd. Isn't that a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, if we just keep our eyes on Him and off from everybody around us, we would be a lot better off. Amen. In any business, any office, any family, any church, no matter what it is, any human organization or group, whether it's a large group or a small group, do you know there's a struggle for this thing called self-assertion? There's always a struggle for self-recognition. It goes on and on and on. I worked in big business. I know. There's always that struggle that you want to be top sheep. You know what an older ewe lamb will do, or ewe sheep? If she sees a nice grazing spot over here and she sees another lamb or a sheep that's there just minding its own business, that sheep will come over and butt that sheep and just keep butting and butting and butting until that sheep gets out of the way. If the ewe sheep wants to lie down right here and somebody else is over there, she'll put her feet down real staunch and arch her neck and just literally give that strange look at that sheep if it's looking, and it's like a warning, you get out of my way because that's my spot. Don't you sit in my chair in this chair. This is my chair. You sit in my chair, there's going to be some words going on. Yeah, that's my chair. You stay out of my spot. My spot. There's no names on these chairs anywhere. I do like to see this. I'll just tell you a little secret. Can I tell you a secret? Nobody else is listening. But when somebody new comes into the church and they sit in your spot, I watch you. I watch you. Just wondering how you're going to react. I've seen some of your faces. What do I do? They're in my chair. There's a whole section right here that's just nobody here right there. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 15, 6, 18 chairs right there. If Mark would move down closer to Brennan, we'd have even more there. We got plenty of chairs here. You don't have to look weird at somebody if they're sitting in your seat. Because you don't have a seat here. You have a place here. You have a place in church. And if you're going to have to sit back there or sit right up here or sit over there or sit wherever, don't be like those ewe sheep that just are going to butt somebody out of the way. I hope and pray you'll never walk up to a visitor and say, that's my seat. I hope and pray you don't do that. You better hope and pray that I don't hear you do that. I'll send Paul Taylor over to slap your face. I won't do it myself. Use somebody else to do it. No, we wouldn't bring physical harm, but you would hear from us. And you should. I did have somebody come up to me one time and say, "Pastor, they're in my seat. What do I do?" Pick out another seat. That's a no-brainer. Find another seat. Oh, okay. But it's just not like my seat that I sat in. I know, you sat there and you've actually, you've molded your backside into that seat. And nobody else's backside's going to fit in that seat like yours does. I know that. I understand it. But you'll find another seat. One of the outstanding marks of a Christian should be the sense of gentle contentment. No matter what it is that God calls you to do, just be content with that. Just be content. Paul told Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can face my fears. I can face my phobias. I can face whatever the world has to offer. I can face it because my shepherd, Jesus Christ, is there to help me, to allow me, and maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In our human relationships, when we become aware of really being in the presence of Jesus Christ, our foolish, selfish, snobbery, and rivalry will end. Now, I got to tell you this. I'm going to give you a plus here. I'm going to give you for the word. Attaboy, huh? Yeah, bonus. Extra credit. I'm going to give you a compliment. That's the word I was looking for. Nobody said compliment. Help me out here. I'm going to give you a compliment. I don't see a lot of that in this church. I really don't. I don't see I got to be number one in this church. And I really believe a lot of it has to do with the humility that many of you have. Because pride says, I got to be number one. Pride says, I got to be on top. I got to be the chief sheep here in this church. I got to be it. Well, we don't have that here. I just told you a little while ago, I'm the pastor, but I'm still a sheep just like you are. I go through the same things you go through. God has put me here for a purpose and for a reason, and I'll stay here as long as God wants me here. But we don't need to be shuffling to be the chief around here. We're just humbly seeking to serve the Lord. And as I said a little while ago, when our eyes are on the master, they're not on one another. We're not saying, I got to be like so-and-so. But that does work. That happens in a group of sheep. Again, you get an older you that just is the dominant you. It's the dominant one in the flock, and it's her way or you're out of here. And a shepherd has to see that and discipline that ewe. They have to deal with that particular person in a way that that ewe is going to understand and learn a lesson that you don't treat somebody else like that. And that's the way we need to be ourselves. And I'm not saying that you need to go around looking for a fight here, but if you see somebody that is just being completely dominating and trying to control and run somebody else, just speak nice to them and say, hey, you know, calm down here. You don't need to be acting like that. Just relax a little bit. Do it in a way that's going to be nice. You don't want to offend them, but if you see something that needs to be corrected, then correct it. And if you act that way, correct yourself. You know if you want to be the dominating sheep around here. You know if that's where you are. Just realize that here in our text, in Psalm 23, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There has to be at least these four things satisfied in order for the sheep to lie down in green pastures. Have to be free from what? The first one. Fear. Free from, second, what? Friction going on within the flock. Here's the third one. Free from pests and parasites, aggravations. There has to be freedom from that. The flock will be extremely uneasy when the pests, when those various parasites and those flies, those warble flies, the bot flies, and the other kinds of flies that actually, nasal flies, actually go up into the nasal part of the sheep or any kind of cattle for that matter. Do you know that the shepherd has to watch that and look for that constantly all the time, especially during the extreme summer months when the flies are flying all over the place and ticks are all over the place? A shepherd has to recognize that in its flock. And then the shepherd has to take means to get rid of those insects that's on those sheep. It has to constantly be looking and checking. And a good shepherd knows exactly when the insects are attacking his flock because they act very agitated. They can't lie down. They'll stand, they'll sit there and they'll stomp their feet. They'll shake their heads trying to get some relief from the parasites or the flies that are living in them and on them. Have you ever seen a whole bunch of cows and the flies are like all over them? Do you see how agitated sometimes those cows get? They're flapping their tail around. They're shaking their heads and all of that. That's exactly, hey, do you like flies landing on you and crawling all over you? You'd shake your, well, not your tail, but you'd try to get those flies off from you too, wouldn't you? You like it when a mosquito lands on you and starts sucking your blood? No, you don't like it when insects get on you and things fly around you. Do you ever be out there in the summertime and all of a sudden a little sweat fly starts buzzing around your head, drives you crazy? And it lands on your head, and you're smacking your head this side. Smack. That's what I do. And after a while, it's like, whoa. And the little bee just flies off laughing at me the whole way because I missed him every time I hit my head. But you don't like to have those things land on you. The sheep don't like to have those things land on them either. So they have to have freedom from the fear of this torment that can literally drive them almost insane. And the shepherd has to recognize that. And we'll talk more about that tonight. You got to come back tonight to get the rest of this. All right? All right. We'll take a look at this one and the last one, free from hunger. I can see hunger in many of your eyes right now. And as a good shepherd, I want to make sure that you eat today and fill your bellies and get the nourishment that you need so you can come back tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this message. And thank you, Lord, for the different pictures that we have in Scripture and the different things that you've given to us. Lord, I pray for the sheep that's in this room. Lord, and that's what we are. We're sheep. You're our great shepherd. And Lord, I pray. I know that you're always watching out for us. You're always, as a good shepherd,